Welcome to I'll Watch That Movie with Tammy and Dan, mainly from the 80s, some from the 90s, and then we'll go from there. I'm your host, Dan.
And I'm Tammy.
And Tammy, today we have not one guest, but two special guests.
It's like a party.
It is a party. our expert today is famous from the CarneyCast podcast. We have Claire.
Hello.
and then our other newbie today, famous from FisherCast, is Moira.
Hi there.
Hey.
And we're both famous from Kingston.
Yes, we are.
Fun fact, both from Kingston, different countries.
Yay.
We're both from the Commonwealth.
Yeah.
So today, Tammy, Claire brought a special little gift for us today. She has her mini vault that she flew to us all the way from the UK. Let's just open it up here. Okay. And we're just going to go inside. We have Toy Soldiers, released April 26, 1991, written by William P. Kennedy, the novel. And the screenplay is by Daniel Petrie Jr. and David Coop, directed by Daniel Petrie Jr. And I apologize if I said any names wrong. Now, Claire, there are many, many amazing movies that we have. What inspired you to want to be an expert on this film?
Well, thank you for asking, Dan. Basically, myself and my best friend, I think maybe watched this film about once a week for a period of a few months in our heady youth. We just really loved this film. We were going through like an action movie type phase. I think we were just excited that it not only had Gordy LaChance from Stand By Me, but also Mikey from The Goonies in it. And so that's it, really. I just love this film. And Billy Tepper is the most badass character in cinema.
He truly is, isn't he? All right, so let's see. The synopsis is, when terrorists seize control of a boarding school, a group of troublemaking boys decide to resist them. Ooh. And wackiness ensues. All right, so we turn the movie on, and bam, we open up with some things going on in Colombia. Now, just to preface this, some people might have watched this movie with a kind of a funny version that had Swedish subtitles. And so the Spanish that is in the beginning is translated into Swedish and not English, which I think everybody here speaks. And I don't know if anyone else speaks Swedish around here. I don't.
So. No.
Although I think Moira had a nice little Swedish lesson last night, didn't you?
I know a little now.
So basically, there's just a lot of craziness happening in Spanish. A lady is thrown out a window, and a judge is thrown out of a helicopter. And basically what's happening here is there's a drug lord that he just was taken into custody in America, and his son is trying to get him out of prison, basically.
Yeah, I understand Spanish, but I just was also trying to take notes, so I wasn't really paying attention. But I was like, oh, we're in Colombia. Must be drug related. And then, like, when they started actually killing people, I was like, what kind of movie did Dan pick out for us to watch?
It is a little
violent.
When that
woman lands on the steps, it was pretty hardcore. I mean, it was very graphic.
Yeah, and like right away, right at the beginning of the movie there. And yeah, I mean, all these movies so far have been pretty light, you know? And then mm-hmm. we get this one where I knew Sean Astin and Will Wheaton were in it, and I was like, really? This is a movie they were in?
Yeah, I don't know if they won any awards for this one, Tammy. No. I'm not quite sure.
Teen choice.
Yeah, really? That would be awesome. You know what, Claire? That's a good idea. We should start having, like, teen choices, like from these movies, we should be like, you know, if they did teen choice back then, this is what would have won and for what.
Yay.
I think that there's an idea there. So now we cut to presumably America, and we see a fancy boarding school. And we meet Billy and Joey and the rest of the soccer team, where all the cool kids are on, of course. Or a football team, depending on what you call things. You know, if you're America, you call soccer, and everybody else is football, which makes sense. Foot and a ball. We see Billy and Joey. They deface some school property. The Regis School is now the Reject School.
Can I please give a shout out for Sean Astin's awesome, slightly ginger, curly mullet?
You know, it's like, it's not even a mullet. Yeah, it's curly, and it's not just curly, it's slightly ginger. It's amazing. And you know, I've never seen his hair like that in any other movie. You know, it's like specifically for this one.
And it doesn't move, even when he's running really fast. It's solid.
You gotta keep that thing
tamed. Like a thatch on his head.
So,
police are coming for me.
Uh-oh, watch out. So now we've reached about the 5-minute mark. Tammy, do you have a prediction for Toy Soldiers?
Yeah, I was so confused about what was going on, so my prediction's pretty crazy. Hold on, I gotta try to move close to the mic and my laptop here. Okay. I think the principal is really a general, and he recruits Sean Astin and Will Wheaton, because, of course, by this time, I didn't know their names, to be toy soldiers and take down the drug cartel people, or whoever the bad guys are, because I wasn't sure if they were drug cartel or not. I just assumed. The boys are excited, but they still must pull some shenanigans, because they are douchebag kids. During one of their pranks, they literally run into the bad guy, and since they don't know how to use a safety on a the drug cartel, totes by accident, and save the day and the world.
That's an amazing prediction. Moira, did you also have a prediction?
Yeah, I did. First of all, can I make a comment?
Yes,
okay,
please.
I don't know a lot about American style prep schools, but this one seemed like it was a lockdown concentration camp. I mean, it had a security guard and a locked gate, and I'm like, whoa. So I couldn't decide if these kids were just affluent preppy kids, or were they particularly bad, you know, notorious kids. But anyway, I figured, okay, they're obviously, you know, mischievous, and they're resourceful, because we saw them defacing school property and tricking the guard. So I thought, okay, clearly they're going to have a run-in with the drug cartel guy. He's going to come to America to try to free his dad. And I couldn't quite decide how they were going to run into him. I didn't quite get that part. But I figured that they would have to be MacGyver-like and resourceful and somehow trick the cartel. That's where I got to.
Awesome. I like it.
I love that they're MacGyver-like.
Well, of course. Well, I mean, did you see how Billy, you know, he spray paints over Regis and puts rejects? I mean, he's obviously very smart and intuitive and gadgety. Definitely.
And witty.
Yes, totally.
Well, it was the timing of, you know, steal the baton, distract the guard, meanwhile we'll spray, and then hide the spray can in the soccer ball bag. I mean, these guys are, you know, they planned and executed their attack, so.
They're like Ocean's 11.
Yes.
Like, what, Ocean 7 or 6, however many it is. Well, Moira, just to make a little comment, we learn later that the school is actually, like, half of the student body has been kicked out of other boarding schools. So you're kind of right. It's like both. They're rich kids, most of them, and also jerks.
And some kids that went on full scholarships there, and I'm like, I don't know if I'd want my kid going to this full scholarship excellent school where all the other rejects go.
Well, they were probably rejected from all the other scholarship boarding schools, so they ended up at that one. So that's how it works. Now we meet Phil Donahue.
A young Phil Donahue.
And there's some mysterious folks there telling him that he must leave to a safe haven, since his father is the federal judge overseeing the Enrique Cali trial. And then we see Billy and Joey, and they're up there trying to figure out what's going on. You know, and I love how Sean Astin, he's like so he's like he's getting ready for Rudy. You know, you can tell because he's kind of like a little built, but he's a short little guy, and so you got Will Wheaton on top of him so he can like, you know, get up above the door and hear what's going on. I just thought that was cute and funny.
I like it when he gets smacked on the ass on the
ground. He's like, "Oh, I'm gonna get you."
I just find it funny watching Sean Astin trying to be a punk. Like, you know, because for me, I don't even think I was aware of him as an actor till he was playing a hobbit.
Oh, so, okay.
So for me, it's always like, but you're a hobbit. How badass can you be?
He'll always be Mikey from the Goonies. Exactly. For me, and he was kind of my hero because he was asthmatic but got to, like, run around and, you know, fight pirates. And so, being an asthmatic, he was my hero.
See, I saw that movie, but I didn't connect him. It's like I didn't know who all the guys were in that movie. You know, the actors. It's weird.
Well, he looks so different. I mean, to me, like, Sean Astin looks so different from the Goonies to anything else. Like, in this movie, I could recognize him as a hobbit.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Like, but I
even he had hobbitish hair.
Yeah, exactly.
When he was crying later, that was very hobbitish. In the corner, Mr. Frodo.
Mr. Frodo. Oh man. So we see Dean Parker, played by Louis Gossett Jr. And, man, he's a guy that I wish was still around in movies more. I'm not trying to be a jerk here, but he's still alive, right? Pretty sure of it.
It's funny you say that, because I was watching the movie, and I hadn't read the credit, or hadn't seen the credits yet, and I was thinking, who was that guy? He was in a gazillion films at the time, and then when I saw the name, and I'm like, right, of course. But yeah, he was ubiquitous. He was in tons of films at that time, and now you don't see him at all.
Yeah, I think Sam Jackson took over all of his roles.
You know? I was going to say, if they did a remake of this film, Sam Jackson would play that role.
Number one. Yeah, that's my number one choice.
And I think he would be even more aggressive at making sure he got in the fray, man.
So we meet Dean Parker, and he asks Billy about spray painting rejects on the security cars. And so it seems like we're finding out some things about Billy, right? Maybe he's a little mischievous all the time.
He's a little scamp.
And now the gang, we see them go into a secret clubhouse where they drink alcohol and make phone calls to 1-900 numbers.
That was actually pretty cool, the entrance to their hideout.
Yeah.
I thought, wow, that's pretty, I wonder how long it took them to discover it and then, like, carve out the little wall and the brick and remove it. You know, it looks like something out of a gothic novel. It was hilarious.
Can I give a shout out to one of my favorite lines that me and my friend used to say a lot in our youth from this film? Which is, "Lights out, boys. Eat shit, Mr. Peterson."
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So then Dean Parker, he breaks up the fun little party that they've got going on.
Oh, no. Let's talk more about this party for a second.
You want to talk about it? Let's talk about it.
Okay, first of all, that is the grossest thing ever. Like, that alcohol that they were drinking sounded so disgusting. It was, let's see, vodka, creme de menthe, and peppermint schnapps.
Yeah.
I'm like, I think they just left the mouthwash in there. I really don't believe that it was actually alcohol. And then that phone call, I was like, dude, like, you do that with all your friends around? Like, is that something boys do, Dan? Is that something boys do?
Sad to say, I was a youth at that time. And yeah, people, well, here's the thing. It costs money. And so, there was 1-900 numbers.
Yeah.
And then there was 1-800 numbers. And the 1-800 numbers at first are toll free. But once you do any service after that, you know, you have to pay. So I remember as a kid, some of my friends and I, we were on a payphone and we just called the 1-800 number. And it's just, you know, like an automated thing, you know, and you have to probably do different prompts, you know, to get to actual person. And then we hung up after that. We're like, ooh. So I could see that happening.
Oh, my God. Now I'm really disturbed and I'm glad I don't have a son.
Yeah, boys are weird. Let's be clear.
I have a son. Don't say that.
M- Moira, just watch out for your phone calls, okay?
Yeah, and he's 16. Oh, God.
Yeah, really.
He has a giant orange phone. Be very wary.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. Like, when I watched it back then, I was like, oh, this is so cool. I just love the gadgets.
This is also the first of many, many scenes in which someone has stolen Sean Astin's sleeves.
Hey, you got to show those guns.
He's showing his belly off later as well.
So Dean Parker, he breaks up the party, and now we cut to the bad guys crossing the Mexican-American border after blowing up stuff. So now, did you guys, Moira and Tammy, did you start to realize what might be happening at this point, or it was still like two really disconnected stories?
I knew at some point they would have to meet. Because that would just be awkward.
That's
if
an
they
awful
never
movie.
Did.
Yeah.
But I didn't understand how. And only because, you know, we had seen the son of the judge get pulled out of school. So I was thinking, well, why would they go to the school? Because I still thought maybe the principal really is a general and he's going to bring these kids together to fight the drug cartel.
Yeah, and I couldn't see, like you, Tammy, I couldn't quite see why they would even show up there if the one kid gets pulled away, like their bargaining chip. That made no sense to me. But I did think, you know, the guy, the American guy who's with them, with his weird little round glasses, did anybody else? It made me think of Raiders of the Lost Ark and yes! the Nazis. That's all I could think of.
Yes. I wrote that he looked like the love child of the guy from Raiders of the Lost Ark and the actor Toby Jones.
There we go. Hilarious.
And, you know, we never find out, right? We never find out how he gets with the Mexican or the Colombian cartel or anything,
no.
Right? Yeah.
No, we don't get
that. I think they're lovers. Because the other guy's so upset when Raiders of the Lost Ark Man dies. He's so upset. I was like, they were
it
lovers.
It is weird because he does get, like, super upset, like, more than...
Yeah.
Like, he's upset that his dad's in jail, but he's not that upset. He's really upset when this dude dies.
Yeah.
It is a pretty sad moment.
I've also written a note that I'm sure when what do I call it? Toby Jones, I'm going to call him. Raiders of the Lost Ark Man. When he shoots someone near the start, one of the guys he shoots goes, "Oh, no!" It's just such a funny reaction to being shot.
But quite appropriate. I mean, what else do you say? Oh, no! So now Dean Parker makes Billy walk around with him and get all the alcohol returned back that he had sold to people.
I think that is a fantastic punishment.
That was perfect. Yeah. It was absolutely perfect. Oh, may I say that the first Swedish phrase that I learned was "ja tack," which means "yes, please." That's what they said to the call lady, you know, when the boys were on the phone with her.
At least they were very polite on the phone, Tammy, you know?
They were. They were overly polite.
Yeah.
I just like that all the boys seemed really into it, and Billy just thought it was hilarious. Like, the whole call was hilarious.
Yeah.
Titillating, as one would say.
And now we learn that Dean Parker, he just wants to make sure Billy's successful. You know, he doesn't want to kick him out, like, you know, make this the fourth boarding school he was kicked out from. He seems like a nice guy, that Dean Parker.
Oh yeah,
he's
I like him.
He has a little sly smile on his face, like, which he doesn't even see. Like, no.
And I felt like the dean had been in this situation as a young kid. Like, he was probably mischievous as well.
Yeah. Like when he said, "You're not the only one who's put, you know, alcohol in the soap bottle." There's a giveaway. Yeah, you felt like, Billy, you probably met your match here, buddy.
And then Billy and Joey, they're in their dorm room talking about, you know, what are they going to do next? And I love how, I forget who said it. I think it was Billy. He says, "We have to do something epic." And I was like, that's where the start is. You know, people say an epic, Tammy. That's where they'll start toy soldiers.
I like that Joey's dressed as a pirate. He has like a little earring and a stretchy top.
I just thought it was crazy that his accent went in and out, like this New York accent he has through the whole movie. It was actually a little distracting. Like he would have it, and then there was no accent. And then there was like this Jersey, New York accent, and then there was no accent.
Yeah, I did like how he tried to play this, like, you know, badass little guy who's like, you know, mafia or whatever. And it's like, it's Will Wheaton. Come on.
I know. He just doesn't seem badass at all. Yeah. And his little earring was so dangly. It was quite distracting for me. He kept staring at it. Him in his stripy shirt. Yeah, he did look like a pirate. That's a good analogy.
And now we find out what Billy and Joey decided to do, which was move Dr. Gould's office outside. And then Dean Parker has to clean up the mess.
That was so funny.
Marcus Brody, another Indiana Jones shout out. It was Marcus Brody, wasn't it?
Yeah, Denham Elliott.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I love Denham Elliott. He's great. Yeah.
So that's like, just take it over, kids. Whatever you want to do. I'm with
I should say this is another one. This scene has another one of the lines that me and my friend used to say a lot, and it endlessly amused us, which was, "Pick up that banana."
Whoa! Yeah, when we were watching the movie, Tammy was like, "Well, he threw it and put it in the trash."
Yeah, that's tidy. I like when they first come upon it, and the dean is saying to him. Mr. Peterson, I guess, is okay. If whatever you do, don't laugh. Like, try not to laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, kidding. It would be. It's hilarious.
Yeah, but you know, as an adult, you can't laugh at everything and encourage it. But yeah, they totally got a kick out of it.
He did.
And now we see what's going on here. You know, we start to get some connections. The terrorists are coming, and it's like they're very organized. You know, they come in, you know, they got all the C4 happening. They're getting all these lines together, you know, so things will blow up if they need to. But it's like they forget a few things because, you know, like you guys mentioned before, Phil Donahue's not there anymore. He's gone. So, you know, that research wasn't too well. And, but they start to have a backup plan. They're like, okay, we realize that these kids, they're also somebody as well. So we can use these guys for ransom. Although, Phil Donahue is, you know, on hiatus. So, couple things happened. Dean Parker, he's talking to the local police, you know, after Billy had spray painted the cars and everything. And so we know now that Dean Parker, he won't be at the school when they take over. So hopefully he'll be back to save everybody. Right, Tammy? And then the authorities, they try to get into the school, but their police car gets blown up because these guys work fast. They knew exactly like what towers to go to and everything to, you know, with all their big missiles and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, they were like a well-oiled machine. It was impressive, I must admit. It was. And then I thought, you know, again, this is like 80s and 90s movies. It's like every time there's a rocket launcher. Every time.
Hey. Yeah.
It's like, woohoo.
Love the rocket launcher.
You gotta have one.
Yep.
You're naked without one.
I wanna know how that one guy managed to miss shooting that kid that was in the phone booth when he was standing 10 feet away with a machine gun.
Well, you know, it kind of has a little bit of drawback there. So, and he's a small guy. So maybe, you know.
It was game time, the kid crouched low.
Exactly. There you go. But everybody knows, you know, from playing Counter-Strike on the PC, you have to aim low and then go high to the head. Hello? That's how machine guns work. I learned that from video games.
Survival skills 101.
Yeah.
So then Lewis Cally, he lays down the law of what's going to happen, tells all the hostages the rules. What are some things that we remember from this scene? What are some of the rules?
I know they have to be back every hour on the hour. Otherwise, five people will be shot for every one person missing, which then just said, I told Dan, I was like, so if 15 people go missing, everyone is killed or something like that. I was like, this movie's going to be over real fast. So I thought that was interesting. I thought him yelling, I don't remember what he was screaming about.
I have the line.
Okay, go ahead, Claire.
If any of the individual explosives are tampered with, they will explode.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Don't touch it.
Did it make you jump? It made me jump.
Oh no, explosion.
I remember him saying, you know, they're going to be locked in their rooms overnight, and then the next day they'd be allowed out in the quad to play. Right? If they were well behaved, and then the whole bit about roll call every hour.
Yeah. I thought, like, this is the nicest, these are the nicest, the hostage situations ever. Like, who gets to go out and play afterward? Did you lose your place?
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out where I am.
Joey wants to make a stand.
Although I do think, you know, something with the kid in the phone booth when the teacher is shot in the head, I was thinking, if you were really in the place of those boys and these guys came busting in with machine guns the way they did, it would just be terrifying.
Yeah.
Completely. Like, eesh. And then, oh,
yeah.
And then
I would have
your name called out, like a roll call, like, you'd be scared they're going to shoot you right there.
Yeah. At some point, I would have peed on myself, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think so.
Then they would have let you go, Tammy, because they're like, oh, this guy's a liability. We don't want this guy. That's a good strategy.
And I did think, like, as they were doing the roll calls of these certain, you know, kids or whatever, yeah. And they were picking out people whose fathers were heads of businesses, when they got to Joey and they were just like, oh, Albert Trotta, and then they didn't say what his dad did, I was like, what does his dad do? Is he, like, part of the mafia? And then that's really what it was. I was like, yes.
Good for you.
And then the gang conveniently gets held up in the same room, you know, when it's time to go to bed. It's like, you know, they should have broke those guys up, you know, because they're just going to do some wacky plans, I think. So then Lewis Catley, he sends his demands over with a dead body to the FBI or some sort of military people. It's hard to say. They say a couple different things. Like at one point they say FBI, but then, you know, later we see them and it's like totally military. You know, it's hard to say. Maybe, you know, for something like this, you got to get everybody involved.
Well, yeah, well, at one point they said if it got any further, weren't they going to have to call in the president or something? So
yeah, for special permission to go in or something. Yeah. Special ops. Dark forces.
That's probably who it was, I'm sure.
Can I give a shout out as well to Keith Coogan's Mighty Mighty? I was like, put some pants on, for God's sake. They were just obscene.
You know, I had done some research, and apparently he had worked out for months, Claire, just for that scene. So he really wanted to show him off.
I was too distracted by Sean Astin's guns, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he was probably training for Rudy at that point, I'm guessing. You know, you got to be strong little guy. So now the gang, they're trying to figure out a plan to take back their school, first by gathering intel. The smart little resourceful guys.
Is that when Sean Astin spits in the guy's sandwiches?
Yeah.
Oh,
at some point, yeah.
I was like so grossed out.
Me too. Totally. Hey, you know what? An aside. Do you know whose birthday it is today?
Who?
Will Wheaton's.
Oh, it is.
He turns 40 today.
That's why we recording chose this in to his do honor. This.
Yeah.
It was totally on purpose. Yep.
Yep, that's why we did it. You're welcome, Will.
Like, I can't believe he's 40, and then I'm like, man, maybe he was older than that. You know, I didn't get a good grasp of what age he was, you know? You forget.
Yeah.
But I guess it makes sense. I'll say that you're right, Moira. I think you're right.
He put it out on Twitter this morning.
I know.
It's not like he's lying.
I know. I'm just kidding. But he just looks so young,
I
you know?
Know
like
I
that
know.
Face.
It's crazy, isn't it?
So then there's a meeting with all the disgruntled parents. You know, they're getting all crazy. And then we learn that the U.S., of course, doesn't give in to the demands of terrorists. They make that very clear a few times. And then now we see the gang again, and they've gotten quite a bit of intel in various ways.
Yeah, and Joey is quite the artist.
Isn't he, though? It's impressive.
He is an artist. And they figure out how to disarm the bomb that Louis Cali always has, you know, the detonator on him at all times. And now we get to one of the suspenseful moments of the movie, where Billy has a plan to escape the school to give all the information that the boys collected to, you know, the FBI agents or military or Dark Force special ops.
Yeah.
He disappears like a ninja. The camera, like, he's there, the camera pans across, it goes back, and he's gone!
I know.
This is, like, for me, where the movie turns around, though, because, like, the movie was doing okay, but it was just kind of slow, and it seems like this from this point forward, it really picked up, and I was pretty excited about it.
Yeah, because we start getting some suspense.
Yes.
Yeah, I just remember watching this when I was younger, and I was just, like, really into this, like, this whole sequence that happens. I'm like, oh, this is amazing. I hope he makes it. Even after, you know, I'm sure you're the same way, Claire, after you watched it a million times, you were like, I wonder if he makes it. I don't know. Billy, don't do us wrong.
Don't get five of us shot.
Yes, he comes back right in time before the terrorists are about to kill five people.
Also, and the loudest engine on a toy plane I've ever heard. It was like a helicopter.
Oh, plus, you know, the other thing is when it's so funny, when he gets through enemy lines or whatever, when he gets through to the other side, and these two camouflaged dudes show up with, like, trees on their heads to nab them. I thought, good God, what is jungle warfare? Like, that was so funny. And then when they take him to wherever they took him, their encampment, when he's driving back in the Jeep, it's like a half-hour drive. It's a bit ridiculous.
Yeah, that 45 minutes, I think, was extended quite a bit. Then Billy gets reprimanded by Louis Cali by getting a little lashing there. Owie.
Yeah. And you know, it was okay. So he comes out. Well, he comes back in. He's all wet. So he decides, I'm going to go with this whole shower thing because he's already running late. And he comes in.
Which was ingenious.
It was ingenious. However, wouldn't they have found, because, like, he left a trail of clothes throughout the everywhere, like one sock one place, one sock another place, his pants somewhere else, a shirt somewhere else. I was just like, isn't anyone going to find all these wet clothes and wonder what the heck happened?
In the basement and in these sort of back passageways that they use. So that's a little bit suspension of disbelief there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And, you know, it was probably, like you said, Moira, it was probably, like, spread out a bit, too. So you didn't necessarily know that, oh, this is all one person. It's not, like, up the stairs, you know, in a romantic moment or something like that. You know, it's all across the school. So, you know, it's a bunch of boys. You know, I'm sure there could be a sock here, sock there, you know, whatever.
I gotta admit, I called it. When he fell in the stream, I thought, oh crap, you're wet. What are you gonna do now? I thought, oh, pretend you had a shower. That's gotta be it.
Nice.
But I'm sure, like, that water looked like poo water, and I'm sure, like, he had the smell. It's like,
he
come on, dude.
Smelled,
You didn't just take a shower.
That swatting looked horrendous. Oh.
Yeah, when he's getting hit by the ouchie.
Yeah.
So the feds talk about the gang's plan, but they're saying it's not going to happen. You know, we're just going to do whatever the terrorists want. We're going to negotiate this time.
Yeah, we never negotiate, but we're going to negotiate this time.
We will. Yeah,
that was weird. That was just weird.
And then a bunch of little things are happening. We see Enrique Cali. He's in the prison and he's getting information that, Anthony Trotta's son He is at the school.
Yay, yeah. Dun, 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 dun. He'll always be Law and Order for me. Or Dirty Dancing.
He'll always be Lumiere for me.
Aw, he's baby's dad in Dirty Dancing.
So they decide that Enrique Kelly's like, you know, Anthony Trotta, he'll owe us one, so let's work with him. And then Joey is told to leave because his father made a deal with Callie's. And Joey then ends up getting crazy. Did any of our newbies here think that that was going to happen where he just goes, no?
No, not at all. No. My note was, they killed Joey. Shit just got real.
And it did.
I know he had the plan earlier where he said, we'll grab a gun and then, you know, we'll shoot everybody. But I didn't think he was really going to do that. No.
He must have watched Scarface too much or something. Like, he just wanted to light up the place.
Indoctrinated. It must be genetic.
Yeah, really?
Couldn't help it.
So then, sadly, Joey gets killed.
And he bled purple blood. I love it in films where they get the color of blood wrong. It just makes me laugh.
And then Lewis Cali, he really wants to make sure that the New Jersey Mafia isn't mad after killing Joey. He like tells them 1,000 times, like, it was an accident. Make sure they know it was an accident.
Yeah, he ran into a fun spray of bullets.
And then, of course, Anthony Trotta, he's ready for some revenge. Then the gang have a little somber moment together and look at Joey's artwork. Because that's how you remember a friend. You look at their artwork. And then Director Brown decides that they will go with Billy's plan after all, because Enrique Cali ends up getting killed. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well,
Enrique Cali ends up getting killed at the prison, probably on Anthony Trotta's word, I'm guessing.
Sure. With the shit.
Yeah, with the shit.
Yeah, that all happened real quick, too. It was like Joey died, and then Enrique Cali was killed. It was like, whoa, okay, well then. Lots of death all at once.
Very quick retribution in the course of like an hour.
The mafia works fast. I mean, let's be clear.
Yeah.
They're busy people. If they miss it now, they'll miss it forever. So you got to strike while the iron's hot.
But see, I was a little sick, because when Jerry Orbach said, okay, well, yeah, accidents can happen, I was picturing what the mafia's going to storm the school. Like, I really didn't know where that was going. And I should have been able to realize he would just have the dad killed, but I'm a little slow sometimes.
Did you think that the mafia and the FBI would get together?
I was thinking, where the hell is this movie going? This is crazy, crazy.
That would be awesome if, like, there was like a concept of a movie where, like, the mafia is used by the FBI or something like that, and then they end up having this like force together. And
be like, we'll show you how this is done.
Exactly, that'd be awesome.
I know, but they went another direction.
Unfortunately.
Damn it.
So then, yes, Tammy.
Oh, I was gonna say one of my favorite lines was when they were all talking about Joey, and then like Billy didn't want to have the idea anymore, whatever, and he was like so upset, and he tells the guys, he's like, if you say we're here to do it for Joey, I'm gonna fucking puke. And I was like thinking, and that, because that's exactly what I thought too. I'm like, oh my god, if they say we gotta do it for Joey, I was gonna be kind of angry. And no, they didn't. It was nice. I liked it.
And then so now they're gonna do this plan. So Billy, he goes to the headmaster's office once Lewis leaves, because Snuffy fakes an asthma attack.
Worst asthma attack ever.
Oh, that's horrid. He was faking, your windpipe is blocked off because you're having a laryngospasm. He was not faking an asthma attack.
Yeah.
Just, it was bad. She'd been wheezing. Practice your...
He looked like he was choking on like a peanut or something.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought he was choking first, and then they like played it up as an asthma attack, and Yeah, if Moira were there, she would totally be like, you are so faking. Get up right now.
So busted. Get off your feet. Get on your feet. Get out of here.
So a lot of exciting, suspenseful moments happen. Please stop me if I miss something. Billy exchanges the chips from the flying saucer and the detonator. The snipers are taken out, but they drop a grenade. And then Callie knows something's going on. You know, he hears the grenade, like, oh, we need to figure out what's going on. And then... then as Billy and Yogurt, they're about to come back from the headmaster's office. Yeah, that's a great name.
Is it wrong earlier that when he's talking to Yogurt and he says, is this your plain yogurt? That really made me laugh.
Oh, that's hilarious. How do you get a name like Yogurt bottom. Anyways?
I know.
So they get found out by one of the terrorists as they're, you know, climbing back into the bathroom. And then Billy, of course, jumps on his back because, you know, that's what you do.
Well, I mean, they, you know, they had the most awful plan. Oh, we'll know that there's not a problem if or we'll know there's a problem if the water is shut off. I'm like, what? That is the worst plan ever. You know.
There's only so many resources in the bathroom, Tammy. I mean, what else are you going to use?
Flush three times.
Or how about you peek through the screen?
Yeah.
There's a thought.
You know, that is a good rule of thumb. You know, when you're sneaking back from the headmaster's office into the bathroom and there's a bunch of terrorists around, you should probably poke your head in first.
Look before you leap. I'm just saying.
So, then... So Billy, with the help of, what is it, Montoya? Is that his name?
Yeah.
They,
the strong Latin child, yes.
They take out that terrorist, and then Billy takes out another terrorist with a pan.
Pots and pans.
Of course, yeah. Pots and pans. Oh, pots and pans. And it's like, I like how that terrorist guy, like, it seemed like he understood Billy at first, and... knew English well, but then once pots and pans happened, didn't know what pots and pans were. Had no idea. What pots and pans? What? What are pots and pans? Then the helicopters take out the terrace and the towers, and Billy gets everyone to the basement that we learned of prior in their 1-900 number calling. And then the U.S. forces infiltrate the school or whatever they are, the dark op.
Okay, best part is when they rappel down from the helicopters. I want to do that. That looks like so much fun.
Interesting.
If you watch some of the guys, they're like, once they get to the ground, they're trying to get themselves out of the rappel line, and some of them weren't quite as slick as others. Like, carefully.
Yeah, rappelling, I'm sure.
I like it when they were shooting the wall, like they're shooting inside, and it's like clearly like plasterboard, and it's going pew, 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 as though the bullets are ricocheting off metal.
Oh, man. So, and then Lewis Callie, he finds Billy in the kitchen and takes him hostage. And then Callie, he's ready to set off the detonator. It's time. It's go time. You know, there's no other thing.
Lewis Callie can see through doors. That's his special power.
Well, it's like he's the smartest guy and then the dumbest guy. You know, like at some parts it's like, okay, this guy knows what's going on. And then other times he's not there. But maybe that's why he's the son of, you know, the big drug cartel guy and not the big drug cartel guy.
That could be.
So he tries to set off the detonator, and then the flying saucer or helicopter or plane thing turns on. Electronics, love it. And then Dean Parker, he comes flying in and shoots Callie and gets shot himself, of course. You got to.
And that was like the grossest shot because it was like right through his head, and I was like, ew. Everything else has been like in the chest area.
Yeah, when Callie gets it right in the right in the forehead, it's like, ooh, gross. And it just like the blood just kind of spurts out. And then all is well at the Regis school. But Billy is still on pots and pans. Pots and pans. Oh boy. All right. So, Moira, can you give us a rating for this film?
A rating. Okay. I was trying to think, what am I going to use for my scale? Ack. I enjoyed it. I really quite liked it. It started off, like we said, a little slow, and then it just got, I mean, it was mischievous and funny, and they had enough intricate little parts to their plan to keep me interested and to see whether it would work. You know, everything from setting off the smoke alarm and just all those little things. So I really enjoyed it. I would give it, overall, an 8 out of 10 MacGyver-like mischievous prep school boys.
Nice. I like it. Tammy, what did you have?
I really liked this movie, too. It was so much fun. I actually could see myself watching this movie again. So, unlike some other movies, Daniel.
Hey, you win some, you lose some.
We called him Daniel. That's the serious
one. Yeah. So I give this movie 8.5 out of 10 movies that start off slow but end really well. Yay.
And now, Claire, if you have... two different ratings, you're more than welcome to do that. You know, like I do an 80s Dan. So if you have an 80s Claire rating, or I guess in this case, it's a 90s Claire.
I can think of one. I would say 90s Claire loved this film. Just really like thought it was the greatest action film ever made. And it was really tense and amazing, and would have given it 10 out of 10.
Wow.
Mouthwash, bootleg alcohol.
Bootleg alcohol, I'm with you.
I don't know. And present day Claire, this was the first time I watched it in about 5 years, and I still love it. I'm going to give it 10 out of 10 ginger curly mullets.
Yes, love it.
Love it.
90s Dan gave it a 9 out of 10 awesome gadgets at Radio Shack that I need to buy.
Yes.
And then present day Dan gave it a 7.5 out of 10 suspenseful Billy moments. I wasn't, you know, I would have given an 8. But I was a little uncomfortable in the beginning when they're talking on the sex phone line and I'm with my wife and I told her to watch this movie. So I was like, I forgot about that. Goes down a peg.
Oh my God, a movie it lost half a point for sexy repartee. Oh my God. How odd is that?
Well, you don't need to watch that when you're with the wife, you know.
Well, I mean, it would have been different if you were like calling a 900 number while we're watching it. Then that would have been awkward. But
I think if it would have been 11 out of 10 if the main bad guy, when his little boyfriend had been killed, he had fallen to his knees and gone, no!
My lover!
Oh, and also, I love that guy, he looks out of place, he looked like he was going fishing.
No!
They really need to have, like, a backstory on, like, what is with that guy? Like, what's going on here? I really do think you're right on that. They're definitely lovers. Totes lovers.
Yeah, definitely. I have a question.
Yes.
Where do you guys think Billy Tepper would be now? Because my prediction is that he joined the CIA and became the next James
Bond. See, I feel like he wasted all of his talent during his youth. So I think he just probably took over his dad's construction company.
Oh, no!
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say, due to some indiscrepancies, he ended up just taking over the contracting business.
Oh, yeah,
I think he bucks authority so much, I couldn't see him really towing the line well enough to be in one of those CIA-like organizations. He'd just be a little troublemaker the whole time.
But, you know, maybe this finally got him straight, you know? like after this whole thing happened,
scared,
you know, he's scared. He's got scared straight and he's like, you know what? I'm going to do good. I'm not going to be a jerk to Dean Parker anymore. But I doubt that happened.
I thought there was a bit of flirting between him and Dean Parker at the end. They were hugging. He was hugging him. I was like,
Hey, you know, when Dean Parker got shot, I take issue with the location of that bullet because when it went, I'm like, holy crap, that's through his heart. He's going to die any second. And then he walks out with just a little band-aid.
I agree, Moira, and I'm glad that you brought that up because I thought the same thing. I was like, he just got shot through the heart. And then, like, they had it look like blood was just pouring out of him. And then, like, he had some bandages around his wrist because obviously he...
Yeah, like it was just through the muscle of his shoulder or something. I'm thinking, no way, it would have at least collapsed his lung. Like, come on.
Well, I liked how his wrist, all of it, his arm, and really his forearm was all wrapped up, you know, really good. You know, you could tell that they like took some time and it was basically like for his like shoulder or whatever, they just gave him like a little gauze bandage and he put a little compression on it. You'll be good.
A little patch.
That's all you need, right? I mean, that's true life, right, Moira?
Wound. That's pretty funny.
So, Moira, where can we find you on the internets?
You can find me on FisherCast, which is a 6 Feet Under retrospective podcast, but it's going to come to an end soon, probably by September. Mm-hmm. I think we only have 8 episodes left. Ah.
Sad face.
I know.
And Claire, where can we find you?
You can find me here.
she's a creepy creeper. She's just hanging out in the corner. Don't turn around, Dan. Don't turn around.
Looking through your window.
Oh, you can also find her during the London Olympics.
Yeah. You might spot me on the television waving. Yes. You can't find me anywhere regularly, but I pop up occasionally on FisherCast. And in from maybe September, October, I will be doing the X-Files podcast with the darling Tammy.
Yay.
Yes, and we officially have now everyone who's going to be on the X-Files podcast has been on this podcast.
Yeah.
We've collected them all, Tammy, finally.
Real quick, too. We were like right on top of that.
All right, Tammy, where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me at your podcast, the Belly Dance podcast. So shimmying and shaking it all over town.
And then you can follow me on the Twitters at DanLandZero. Well, I want to thank everybody for coming on today. This was a fun treat, Tammy, to have, because this is the first time we've had an expert and a newbie on with us.
Yes. Thank you.
So we appreciate you guys coming on. And you can get us at the Facebook. You can look us up. I'll watch that movie. We have, you know, some fun little things come up here and there. Oh, you know what? We have a little bit of feedback, Tammy. Would you mind reading some of that on the Facebook?
We do.
Yeah, because that's important. I think Mary wrote on there a couple things.
Well, let's start off. So Robin says, firing up the old Martika single and hanging up my old Sean Astin Teen Beat pinup, which I could totally see Robin having.
Yeah. I don't think he's joking, Tammy. That's like actually what he was doing at the time.
Mary said, oh, I love that movie. Fave part, Sean Astin's mad dash to the outside and then trying to get back in time for roll call. I'm on the edge of my seat. Will he make it in time or will he die? I don't know. The tension is killing me. Oh, Sean, how can you be so adorable? And then Courtney Wheaton said, love this movie. How about that? Of course, it coincided with my mad Will Wheaton crush that I had at the time. Honestly, watched it again about a year ago just for fun, and I was surprised how well it held up.
And it really does. That. Yeah, it does. You know, because some of these movies that I watch, that I have you watch, Tammy, I'm like, ooh, this one did not hold up. But this one really did. You know,
it's so
I don't know.
Crazy in that last scene. Like, I forgot how crazy it was. Like, everything's going on, you know. When the main guy gets shot, it's just insane, and he's jumping through the window.
It was awesome.
Yay.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. We enjoy it. And come see us again when we watch another movie from the 80s, 90s, or going from there. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.